Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. I wanted to go over a story that I think is really going to open your mind up to the possibilities, or maybe the probabilities, that we have continued consumer price inflation in the United States. I know a lot of you that have been watching my videos are probably saying to yourself, George, make up your mind. Every single time you come out with a video, you talk about how we could have disinflation. You talk about how we could have inflation. You talk about how it's just unknown in the next 6 months. You talk about the CPI going down, up, all over the place, deflation. Make up your mind. But you see, that's the whole point, is that I try to analyze things from all different perspectives and kind of explain that to you guys so you can come to your own conclusions on the probabilities. I'm not here to predict anything. I'm just here to say, here are the arguments, and here are some, I think, smart arguments from people who have thought this through. Explain those arguments to you, so then again, you can come to your own conclusions and set up your portfolio accordingly. What you'll find for the majority of people on YouTube is they say the same thing. They take a position. Let's say they believe that there's going to be hyperinflation, and they just say that in every single video. Every single video, the conclusion is there's going to be hyperinflation, so buy gold, or there's going to be deflation, so buy bonds. And every single video is the same thing over and over and over again. There's a reason. And I'm not saying that these people are disingenuous by any stretch of the imagination, but you grow a YouTube channel a lot faster that way because people love confirmation bias. So what happens is you get a bunch of subscribers who also believe there's going to be inflation. So they want to tune into every single video you do to confirm their pre-existing opinions, and it makes them feel good. So what happens is when they subscribe, because I talk about inflation in the next video, I talk about deflation or a market crash or something like that, then they don't like that. And that's not a good way to get subscribers. So that would be a problem if my objective was to get subscribers. But as you guys know, it's not. My objective and what motivates me is to come in here and talk about things that I think are interesting and try to better understand not only the world around us, but better understand all these smart people's arguments, like the Jeff Snyders and the Lynn Aldens and the Luke Gromans and the Peter Schiffs and the Brent Johnsons. And, you know, let's dissect these and understand them maybe even better than the people who are making the arguments themselves. And that makes us more well-rounded and better educated. And therefore, it increases our probabilities of achieving our investment objectives in the future. So let's get into this article. This is from Zero Hedge. This is a big deal. And Schiff talked about this, I think, on his most recent podcast. So palm oil jumps 10% to a new record. I don't think that's the big deal. The second part of the title is what I think has a significant impact moving forward. And again, I'm not saying this creates hyperinflation. I'm saying that this gives a tailwind to consumer price inflation, not just in the United States, but all over. As Indonesia expands export ban. So right off the top of my head, I know Indonesia is one of the largest suppliers of palm oil, which is like cooking oil, in the world. I don't know if it's 30%, 40%, but it's a significant percentage. And for a lot of countries, not having palm oil is going to significantly reduce the food supply. So what Indonesia has done is said, okay, well, we see all these supply chains breaking down. The future is very uncertain. Therefore, we are going to use this protectionist policy to ban exports of this palm oil to make sure that in the future we have plenty of palm oil for our own citizens, because it's that vital. Okay, well, we know that is going to reduce supply, especially with a producer that's supplying the world, let's say 30, 40%. So what's going to happen to the global price? You guessed it. It's going to skyrocket. And I would say it's probably going to go up a heck of a lot more than 10%, but we'll have to see how that plays out. So the punchline is, in my opinion, if we continue to see deglobalization, which I think there's a strong argument for that, you're going to see this not just with palm oil, you're going to see it with almost everything. Another example, China banned the export of phosphorus. I always get potassium and phosphorus mixed up, but it was phosphorus. And they are one of the largest producers in the world. And I think it was, the timing was interesting because this was prior to Russia invading Ukraine. And so China said, okay, no more exports because we want to make sure that we have plenty of supply for our domestic needs. So this means less phosphorus for the world. This means less fertilizer. This means less food production. This means food prices going up. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. And I did a whiteboard video today. Actually, let me go over to that. I don't think I went over this chart yesterday. If I did, forgive me for being redundant here, but I think it's definitely applicable. Let's see if I can find, there you go. I can, perfect. So let's zoom in on this chart. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, I'll try to describe this as we're going through it. So this is a chart going back to 1800 in the United States. And it goes to 2008. And we've got two lines on this chart. We have a red line that indicates M2 money supply. We've got a blue line that indicates CPI. And then we've got shaded areas of war. And this chart is a 10-year annualized percent. So as an example, when we look at this red dot at just during World War II, we see an increase of M2 money supply at about 12%. Remember, that's not just for the year. That would be a trailing 10-year average. So during this 1 year, let's say it's 1942, the money supply growth would have been, or M2, would have increased at a much, much, much higher rate for that specific year, because it's taking into account all these other years where right here you can see, or you know, it could have been negative, probably was during the Great Depression at some time. So this is a huge increase in the overall money supply, almost a shock like we saw in 2020, where the M2 here in the United States went up by, what was it, 25% just in 1 year. So massive increase in purchasing power and potential demand. Now, we were doing it because of the Cerveza sickness, STEMIs, back here in 1942 or 43. Obviously, we're doing it to fund World War II, but that's a lot of domestic spending, which ends up on the balance sheets of the non-bank entities in the real economy. And of course, as most of you know, 1947, the inflation rate as measured by the CPI went up to 19.5%. A big reason why is because we had price controls and wage controls from, right off the top of my head, 1942 to 1947, roughly, or 46. So you guys know that price controls reduces supply. So you're reducing supply while at the exact same time, you're massively increasing demand through the additional dollars on the balance sheets of the non-bank entities in the real economy, expressed through M2. So is it any surprise that we had inflation in 1947 spike up to 19.5%. Absolutely not. Now, going back to the 1800s, this is very fascinating because, look, we had significant M2 supply, or excuse me, M2 money growth, if you want to call it money. We'll call it M2 dollar growth, currency growth, back in the late 1800s. But look at CPI, negative. We had deflation. So how, if inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon? Because the supply of stuff outpaced the increase in dollars. So it's not just the what's going on with the money supply equation. It's the supply side as well. That's my point. So here in the late 1800s, we actually got deflation because although we had increase in dollar supply, we had a even more in or even larger increase in stuff. World War II, decrease in stuff, increase in money, CPI skyrockets. In the 1970s, we had an increase in dollar supply in M2. And I would argue that most likely we had a decrease, if not the same amount of stuff being produced, therefore prices go up. So again, you got to look at both sides of the equation here. And moving forward, if we're just under the assumption, let's go back to the article, that high prices are the cure for high prices, I don't know. In a world of deglobalization, is that true when it comes to commodities and things like palm oil? I don't know. I mean, are we going to get to a point where the palm oil price gets so high that Indonesia says, okay, that ban's over. We're not worried. And think about what would increase the demand that much. Most likely supply is less. So if supply goes down, Indonesia is going to have a higher incentive to ban the exports. So we're living in this world where potentially, this is just an idea, it's not a prediction, where potentially higher commodity prices actually reduces supply, not increases. Because if that higher price is a result of lack of supply and not just increased demand, then again, these commodity producers say, oh, no, there's very little supply, there's not enough to go around, therefore, we're going to keep it all to ourselves. They keep it all to themselves, and then the global price goes even higher, which takes you into a doom loop, or then they have an incentive to even hoard more domestically. So this is very important stuff to think about from a macro standpoint, and I think this story illustrates it perfectly. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Oh, yes, I forgot. So what we're going to do, I just talked to Josh, and for those of you who have more questions about this commodity supercycle or inflation or kind of the fundamentals of what we just discussed on this video, go ahead and type a question into the chat. And then I'm going to go over to Locals, our Locals page, and answer the question over there. So if you guys aren't a subscriber on Locals, super easy, free to do. You can just go to rebelcapitalist.locals.com. And we're just doing this to produce a lot of content or exclusive content for the people that have subscribed, but then also to incentivize more and more of the Rebel Capitalist to check us out over there, because that's kind of a hedge against this censorship that I think is going to get a lot better, or excuse me, a lot worse before it gets better. So, okay, good. We've got a question here from Jesse, the realtor. Okay, Josh, maybe take a snapshot of that. Let's see, George, man, your honest opinion. Do we believe if entrepreneurs set up and try to create more stuff in the United States, the government won't just continue to hammer down? This is a great question. So, Josh, why don't we take a snapshot of that? And that's something that I will shoot over to Locals and answer here in about maybe 5 minutes. So, enjoy the rest of your afternoon, guys. As always, make sure that you stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. And I'll see you over on Locals here in about 5 minutes. Rebelcapitalist.locals.com.